Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with Ed Alexander. We've almost made it to the weekend, Ed, coming up very quickly on us, and I hope it will be a good one for you. It's the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, the 9th day of July, 2015, coming to you from Tucson's AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice. We're live streaming at a couple of places, buckmastershow.com, my website, and then the station's fine website, kvoi.com. And if you miss a portion of the program, it's always available for you on podcasts. We usually get the podcast up sometime mid-afternoon at buckmastershow.com. We'll get things rolling with a conversation with State Representative Victoria Steele. Then about 20 minutes past the hour, our man on the border, Keith Rosenblum, will join us, followed by Joe Bogart, a spokesman for the Taxpayers Against Pima County Bonds. And we'll wrap up the show with our consumer affairs contributor, Tom Collier. The live line number, 790-2040, and our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. Let's turn now to the live line number and state lawmaker Victoria Steele, who made it official this week. She is a Democratic candidate in Southern Arizona's CD2. Since 2012, Victoria has represented District 9, which includes Tucson's North Side, the Catalina Foothills, and parts of the Northwest Side of the Tucson Valley. She's been at the House of Representatives then for two terms and is with us now. Victoria, how are you?
I am just fine, Bill. Good afternoon. How are you?
Doing very well. Are you excited about this very big announcement you made this week?
Yes, I am. My father thinks that I'm a little crazy now.
Well,
but he was one of the first to contribute to my campaign.
So Dad kicked in a few bucks, I assume.
Yeah, and when you're on a fixed income, as most seniors are, that's tough to do. So, you know, my dad's behind me, my mom's behind me. What more do you need, right?
Yeah, right. That's a very good foundation. But as you know, it will require a lot of money running for Congress. In fact, your opponent, if you move on to face Congresswoman McSally, announced this week she's got quite a war chest saved up.
Yes, she does.
Yeah.
Well, she's been working on this for a while. She's had money left over from her last campaign, and you know, it's no secret that she has the backing of some very big money interests. So, yes, we have a challenge, but challenges have never scared me off. And I think this is an important journey.
Was there something in particular that Congresswoman McSally did that triggered this decision on your part?
Well, first of all, she's part of the GOP, and what we're seeing, especially in Arizona, but also on a national level, is gridlock. We're seeing people not able to really make things happen, people who are stuck, the things that can't be decided because of a stuck and broken system in Washington are being sent to the state. And so we're dealing on a state level with those national type of issues, and particularly when it comes to women's rights over what happens to their own bodies. And she has clearly voted in ways that I would not have voted. So she, you know, there are several votes that, you know, I would question her on. But ones are around women's rights to be able to make their own decisions about their own bodies. I think that's pretty fundamental.
What do you put protecting a woman's right to control her own body? You say that's one of your priorities. Well, let's talk about some of the others.
Some of the other things that I am really very strong on are protecting Social Security and Medicare. I don't think we should privatize this. I don't think we need to go to a voucher system. You know, my mom and dad get really frightened when they hear that that's a possibility. And, you know, they're not they're not wealthy people. They're like a lot of our folks, and they really don't want anybody putting that at risk. We have all paid into this system all of our lives. We cannot do anything that's going to endanger our Social Security and Medicare, especially for our elders who are already getting those services, that money that they count on. And that money is not growing. You know, if anything, we need to be expanding these programs. And I've heard the word entitlement used. This is not an entitlement. This is an insurance program to make sure this is our money that we've paid into this. So there's some basic things that we would probably differ on going down the road. Another one is you know, the idea that we must have a sustainable supply of clean water. We're in the desert, you know. We have the CAP, but we're also watching our water levels at Lake Mead drop dramatically, and they just recently reached the lowest level ever, and that's very frightening. We have to deal with issues around water and electricity and solar, renewable energies. We've got to look at climate change. We cannot stick our head in the sand and say it doesn't exist, it's not real, it's a political argument. It's not. These are things that are affecting our lives and our state, and they have to be dealt with. And you've got to reach above any political party to be able to do this.
790-2040, 790-2040. If you would like to ask Victoria Steele a question, that would be fine with Victoria, I'm sure. Yeah. Well, getting back to the gridlock, would you be willing to work across the aisle to come up with some compromises?
Absolutely, Bill. That's one of my strengths as a state legislator for the past 3 years. I have been able to get things done in the legislature, even as a freshman. In the first year, I got $250,000 into our state's budget. That was me, a Democrat and a freshman, working across the aisle. So I worked with Republicans. I worked with the Democrats. And we got that money in for mental health first aid. The second year, I got another $250,000 for youth mental health first aid to help people who work with teenagers who are suffering from mental illness. And then this year, out of over 1,000 bills that were passed or that were introduced in the state legislature, in the end, only 8 Democratic bills passed out of the legislature. And I've got to tell you, 2 of them were mine. I did not sell my soul or betray my party to get that. I worked on both sides of the aisle, and I got unanimous votes, unanimous approval in the House and the Senate on both of these bills. So I'm proving that you can get things done. It doesn't always turn out exactly the way you want. I don't get my way all the time. But that's the art and the heart of mediation, negotiation, of compromise. But I won't compromise my personal values to get this done. I'll build on relationships.
All right, we have a couple of callers for you, Representative Steele. First is Eric about Social Security. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, thank you. First of all, I beg to differ with you on your characterization of Social Security as not an entitlement. I've been paying into the system since I was 16. I am entitled. It is an entitlement to me. But secondly, your point about not wanting to privatize it, are you seriously arguing that the government has responsibly managed Social Security? It's upside down. It's going bankrupt.
Okay.
Yet you would still trust it to government to run that?
All right. Thank you, Eric. Go ahead, Victoria Steele.
All right. I do think that there are ways that these programs can be improved, and I absolutely agree with you, Eric. We are entitled to this. But it's not something that we didn't earn. It's not something that we don't deserve. We should continue to get it. And if anything, I think these programs should be improved and expanded on.
All right. Let's go now to Rick. I believe it is Rick Grinnell has a question for Victoria Steele. Go ahead, Rick.
Well, first of all, Bill, I want to congratulate you on your recognition, and it's very well deserved. You're just a super person, and you're one of the most ethical and honorable professionals in your industry, so congratulations.
Thank you very much, Rick.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Wait, Bill, did you get an award that I don't know about?
This is for the induction that will be coming up for the Arizona Broadcasters Association 2015 Hall of Fame. So very,
wow.
Very, very excited about that. Thank you, Rick.
Very, very well deserved. Okay, Rick, I'm so sorry.
Go ahead.
That's all right. Victoria, you know, regardless of where you serve, when you're dealing with the reality of trying to run a business, open a business, expand opportunities, whether it's, you know, a small business or a major mining project or oil project or whatever it may be, government intrusion, particularly now on the federal level, has become so cumbersome and such a barrier to opportunities. And utilization of our natural resources is part of our economic security, which is also translates directly to national security. And we've lost strength around the world financially, and we are continuing to lose these freedoms. And it's basically, you got the IRS, you got the EPA, you got the Corps of Engineers, you've got clean air, you've got the, you know, every social government agency, it seems like, has really put a chokehold on economic expansion and opportunity.
Okay.
I don't know how you're going to deal with that.
Okay, Rick, thanks a lot. We're quickly running out of time. Victoria Steele.
Well, I have had many conversations with Rick, particularly around the subject of Rosemont Mine. So he and I are both willing to be on opposite sides with certain issues. But the single most important issue facing our world today is, as I mentioned, climate change, and we're running out of time to deal with that. And we cannot continue just based on the way that we've been going. So we've got some big issues that we've got to look at, and I don't think we need to be doing this at the exclusion of our agencies. I think we need to work with the agencies, and we need to make things easier and better and stronger for our businesses. I watch that happen on a daily basis. These are the issues that I have grappled with as a state legislator for the past few years, and I will continue to do this. There are no easy black and white, one way or the other type of answers here. There are a lot of different things. So I think we need to be focusing on a carbon tax to reduce the greenhouse tax or greenhouse gas emissions, and I would support expanding our investments in clean energy and renewable technologies like solar and wind power.
All right, we have a first-time caller. I am out of time, but I do want to recognize John, who has called. Quickly, John, if you would give us your question or comment.
I know that Tucson has two military bases here, and I just wanted to know, how would you be able to defend those bases better than Congresswoman McSally, who has military experience?
Okay, thank you, John.
I don't think this is an area where the Congresswoman and I would disagree. In fact, I think we would agree strongly on that issue. Our bases, not just Davis-Monthan, but the Fort Huachuca, are critical. They are our primary economic drivers, right along with the U of A, and we need to defend them, we need to protect them and support them. We also need to figure out how we go, what our next step is, so that we're not constantly having to deal with one plane that in a few years we are going to have to address that issue. What happens to the A-10 a few years from now? What will the mission be at our base?
Okay, Victoria Steele, thank you very much. Your website, if you would like to give that out as well.
I would be happy to. It is www.victoriasteelforcongress.com.
Okay, Victoria Steele, thank you very much for spending some time with us. Thanks a lot. All right, Victoria Steele with us. We're pushing now toward 12:19. We'll talk on the live line with Keith Rosenblum coming up in a few moments. Thank you very much.
Are you chemically sensitive? Worried about exposing your family and pets to chemicals sprayed around your home?
Five-Star Termite and Pest Control may be your answer. Our patented treatment process has been used on many chemically sensitive families' homes. Homeowner and pet interaction with the termite barrier is rare because it's held safely within the wall void. We won't treat the soil in the yard where your pets and children play.
Five-Star Termite and Pest Control, treating the termites' food, not the earth. 886-0045.
We're Five-Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering its promises, completing 149 out of 200 intersection improvements, 48 of 80 pedestrian safety crossings, 108 of 200 bus pullouts, and 226 miles of 500 promised bike lanes. Since the 2006 voter approval of the RTA plan, some 650 projects are completed. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Hi. Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
Oh, as good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $99 per month. Plus, get your first month free. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 8/30/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
We go sailing away here on the Buckmaster Show, 12:23. Tom Collier joining us now in studio. Mr. Collier is one of the two dozen contributors to the Buckmaster Show. We're very glad he does. His area of expertise is consumer affairs. Tom, how are you?
I'm doing great. I have a hero of the hour.
Well, I bet. And something to do with robocalls.
Yeah.
And I was getting a call this morning right at 8 o'clock. I just jumped out of the shower, dripping wet, ran to the phone. I think maybe it thought maybe it was important, had to do with the show. And no, it's, hello, seniors.
Oh, yeah. We got that one, too. Of course, we live fairly close to each other.
Yeah.
Well, I have two things to say as I look into Bill's troubled eyes. Let me tell you two things, my son. Call screening.
Yeah.
Get one of those.
I need to do that.
One of those answering machines that has call screening. But my hero, at least of the day, is a district judge in Manhattan, Alan Hellerstein, who upheld a $230,000 award against Time Warner Cable for robocalls.
Mm.
Time Warner, which we don't have in our area, in Southern Arizona, Tucson area, at any rate, made 153 robocalls to a lady in Irving,
Texas.
Same person. over and over and over again trying to collect on a debt by the person who used to have the lady's telephone number.
Oh, my goodness.
She told them, she said, you've got the wrong number. Uh-huh. And they noted even in the judgment that at least 74 of the 153 robocalls to this woman were made after they received a copy of her lawsuit.
Oh,
the only way she could stop them was to sue. And under the under the federal law, there's a $1,500 penalty for making these robocalls per call. So this woman has been awarded $230,000 in round figures. And Time Warner, you know, big company, they spill that much money on the way to lunch every day. You know, their executives do. But it was upheld, and so she is my hero, and the judge who upheld it is my hero.
Well, that'll ease the pain a little bit. That kind of money.
Absolutely.
I wonder if that's taxable, by the way, that kind of money. Who knows?
I don't know. You need to call Shelly Fishman, or you need to call Michael C. Flowers.
Yeah, or Don Luce.
Your buddy. Yeah.
Our attorney, our Michael C. Flowers. Right.
One of your dozens of contributors on tax
issues. Yes, definitely. We have a contributor for...
Which I'm privileged to be one.
Thank you very much. The Attorney General's office coming down on a Tucson company.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The Attorney General has filed charges against a company for violating the Arizona Act that requires... contractors to be registered. This company had a particularly interesting way of approaching customers. They just approach you in the parking lot.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I have a grocery store where we shop, and I'm constantly, maybe two or three times, four times a year, approached by people who either want to repair something on my car, polish the headlights, or offer me a deal on replacing my windows or replacing my doors. And if that's the way they have to solicit customers, well, you know, maybe I should applaud their stick-to-itiveness, or at least their initiative. But at any rate, in this particular instance, these are the names that the company had used: A&D's Auto Care, A&D Auto, A&D Auto Care, A&D Auto Body, and A&D Auto Care and Collision. And what they were doing was approaching people, violating the Consumer Fraud Act, because when they'd get the customers who would come in, they would not perform the repair services. And another thing which got them in trouble with the state because of the Registrar of Contractors Act was they also offered paving. One of the things that happens...
Paving?
Oh, yeah, paving services. You know, if you have a paved driveway, one of the things that happens, particularly in Arizona, and I think the last time I heard about it, they were going from house to house down in the Green Valley area, was somebody will knock on the door and they'll say, hey, we just finished a paving job down in the next couple of blocks and we have some material left over. You want us to pave your driveway?
We've got some extra material.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it happens all the time.
Dump it on your driveway.
It happens all the time with cement block, with concrete block, with concrete, and then we got spare material left over. You want us to work at your house?
So these folks didn't get nailed for soliciting in a parking lot. That wasn't the problem.
I mean, that's not against the law.
Yeah,
but
you
at
can,
the same time, what they're being charged with
when people
is not
did
doing
go
the
to,
job.
People would
when
go
people
to
paid
them.
Them money.
Paid the money.
That's the one thing.
Right,
that's the Consumer
money.
Fraud Act, because they didn't get value for what they paid. But the other charges are violating the Arizona Registrar of Contractors Act for that paving. Now, you don't need to be a member registered with the Registrar of Contractors to do auto repair, but you do have to be registered and licensed to do paving. Mm. And that's one of the things. The Arizona Registrar of Contractors is kind of a unique entity in Arizona because it helps protect consumers who need things that are the trades, what we call the trades, plumbing, electricians. But there are other categories too, but in this particular instance, paving. If you install alarm systems in houses, you need to be licensed with the Registrar of Contractors. And this is the protection. To get that license, they pay a fee to the state, the state agency.
Right. Right.
That part of that license fee goes into what's known as a contractor's recovery fund. And if you, as a consumer, are victimized or the job isn't complete or the job is done shoddily and then the company goes out of business, you can apply to the registrar for an attempt to try to get some of the money back. Now, you are not going to be made whole, but you can apply to the registrar, and the money then to help resolve the situation comes out of the contractor's recovery fund. By far, the largest number of complaints and the largest amount of money in Arizona that comes out of the contractor's recovery fund is to help people who are left with a big hole in the ground after the pool company that they contracted went bankrupt or didn't complete the job. So there is a limit to the amount of money that you can get per complaint. Once the registrar adjudicates that you are indeed entitled to it, and there's a limit to the amount of money per contractor that can be paid out too. So if you're, you know, like in the last in line and all the money's been paid out, you're kind of out of luck. Mm-hmm. But it's better than nothing in Arizona. The problem that you have if you deal with an unlicensed contractor is that you preclude your opportunity to participate in this program.
I see. So if you want to go with someone that's not in registered...
Not registered, yes. Then you preclude your opportunity. Let's talk about one little exception here, and that's for what's known as the handyman exemption. Somebody who's doing handyman work does not have to be registered with the registrar. Right. Let me illustrate that with, okay, I've got a light switch that goes out. Mm-hmm. I don't need to hire a registered electrician at $120 an hour plus whatever their service call is to just replace a light switch.
So a handyman could
You want a handyman who knows the black wire from the white wire, but at the same time, you want to make sure. But as long as the job, including cost and material and labor, is under $1,500, you do not need to have a licensed contractor. You can use a handyman. But like I said, maybe electricians replacing a switch is a bad example. But because, like I said, you really want somebody who knows their stuff if they're going to be messing with the electricity. But that's the handyman exemption.
All right. Good advice, Tom Collier. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill.
Might want to do a whole show around kind of the Registrar of Contractors. That might be very interesting.
That would be a really interesting thing
to do. Tom, thank you very much. 12:31 on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to be talking about the Pima County bond election next on our Thursday edition of Buckmaster.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, our Friday Focus interview with Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. Our Friday Roundtable features Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com and Dan Shear of the Green Valley News. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and always on BuckmasterShow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster. It's 12:35 on this Thursday afternoon. Joining me in studio is Mr. Joe Bogart. Mr. Bogart is a spokesman for Taxpayers Against Pima County Bonds. The election, of course, in November will invite voters to say yes or no to 8 bond questions totaling $816 million. Joe, how are you?
Very well, thank you, and I appreciate you having me on.
Tell me a little bit about how you got involved in this and why you think that a no vote would be the best way to go for Pima County.
Well, I got involved after seeing my taxes start to rise here in the last few years and feeling that the county has a tremendous amount of debt, and I haven't seen it turn out well with other cities or even countries. So I really got involved when I came back. I worked on a few political campaigns and then saw the bonds and actually am on the bond advisory committee. I was appointed by Allie Miller in District 1.
How many members are on that committee?
There's 25 members. Mm-hmm. There was a vote on the vote. There were five of us that voted no to recommend it to go to the Board of Supervisors.
Well, let me ask you, Joe, would you have delayed it a year or two, or did you just feel that the whole thing shouldn't go before voters?
Well, I feel that each one of these seven propositions has a number of items in them that I wouldn't that I think are more are projects that really aren't worthy of consideration. I feel that what we need to do is to take care of what we've got already. If you look around the community, you can see a lot of infrastructure and so forth that needs to be addressed, and I think that needs to be addressed first. I think probably we're in the early stages of a recovery. I think the last report, we were only growing at less than 1%. Inflation, I just heard last week, was 1.6, so we're really negative on that. And I'd like to see the growth come and then consider the other projects.
And I stand corrected. I think I said in the introduction there are 8. There are 7 bond questions, correct?
That's correct.
And one of them has to do with roads, nearly $200 million to fix up our roads. So what's wrong with that, Joe Bogart?
Well, I don't think it's being approached in the right to correct manner. The Board of Supervisors, and I asked Mr. Huckleberry whether this was correct, and he affirmed it, that the Board of Supervisors has the authority to pass either a bond themselves, which would be a COP cop, or they could also raise the sales tax. And the interest, just on the interest on these road projects, are going to run somewhere around $33 million. And we would avoid that if the Board of Supervisors, and I think everybody agrees we need to have that done. It's just the method, in my opinion, personally, that needs to be addressed.
Let's go to the live line. Jim, our friend Jim Kelly, has a question for Joe Bogart. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, good afternoon, Bill. Good afternoon, Joe. Joe, I've looked over the 7 questions myself, and I got to tell you, in my opinion, there are good things in each of the 7 questions, but there are also some poison pills in each of those 7 questions. In your opinion, what are some of the poison pills in each of the questions that make you say no on all of them?
Well, I have to look at, as far as the first proposition, not the first one because that's the roads, but about the open space. The county already controls over 150,000 acres of land, and changing, buying more private land and converting it into public land obviously takes it off the tax rolls. So that would be requiring the remainder to make up the difference. So that would be one of my considerations in that. Also, I look at the projects here. 30% of the money is going to go to nonprofit to corporations, and I have a problem with that. And it's also considered our tourist package, and I don't know any nonprofits that are really growth-oriented that are going to bring a lot of prosperity to the community. Those are two examples.
Okay. Jerry is next. Jerry on the live line at 790-2040. Hello, Jerry.
Oh, hello, gentlemen. As I understand it, a lot of these people that are asking for money for the bond haven't even signed a contract of any kind saying that they themselves are going to handle the operation and maintenance of them, that they're going to force them on some of the municipalities. Is that true?
Well, I actually did hear that, in fact, this morning, that we needed to get, and we aren't going to have intergovernmental agreements at the beginning, I'm sure. So the amount of money, this is one of my main concerns with the program, is that the city of Tucson currently is not able to maintain the infrastructure and like parks, roads, so forth that they have already, and the county itself is actually acting as a facilitator to dangle these projects in front of them. I'm sure the city would like to have that money, but I don't know where the money's going to come for them to pay the maintenance on it. And then what happens is that we're going to be right back in the state where we were before, and the county's probably going to have to pick up the maintenance costs on it on down the line. It also restricts them. If they sign that contract for the maintenance, on down the line, what's going to happen is that when they go out to borrow money, all of those restrictions that they have signed, all those contracts that they have signed, are going to come back to haunt them as far as their credit rating goes.
Okay, Jerry calling us at 790-2040. Joe Bogart is with me. He's the committee spokesman for the group that is against the 7 Pima County bond questions. Joe, let me ask you a philosophical question. So many people complain this town really is in bad shape and this and that. How do we make the area better if we don't go ahead with something like this program, which if all 7 were passed, would it make this community a better place, taking away the money aspect of it?
Taking away the money aspect, okay, there's that's hard for me to do because I'm a fiscal.
I know you're a money guy. I know, but I'm kind of talking if money were no object or whatever.
If we were growing at 4% like Austin, Texas is, mm-hmm. then I would not have the concerns that I have right now. But mm-hmm. we are not doing that, and that's where I don't want to go down the road and get ourselves into a deeper problem than what we have right now. Yes, a lot of the projects. I don't agree that the county ought to continue to buy more land. So that would be a problem under any circumstances. But one that I run into a lot is, why do we need a velodrome? Okay, well, if we were growing at 4%, then I'd say, well, you know what, you know, even though a very small portion of the population will use it, as our, I think it's under 4%, 3 or 4% national or in the area that are actually bicyclists, but it wouldn't concern me as much.
Okay, where can people find out more about your organization?
Well, where they can go is to Pima Bond. Let's see,
P
PimaBondsFacts.com. I answered my own question. There you go, Joe. PimaBondsFacts.com. And tomorrow we'll have Chuck Huckleberry here on the show, and I'm sure he will have a different take on that. But we want to get as many opinions on the program as possible. So, Joe, we appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Okay, Joe Bogart with us from the group Taxpayers Against Pima Bonds. Next up on the Buckmaster Show, what does that election with a new governor, I believe she's the first woman governor of the state of Sonora, what's that going to mean for us in Southern Arizona? Keith Rosenblum will answer that question next.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 650 projects to date, including pedestrian safety crossings, intersection safety improvements, and bus pullouts, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 1248. Want to do a big shout out to one of our sponsors, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. They're having the annual Hummingbird Festival. That's coming up on July the 18th and 19th. So that's a week from this weekend. Music, food, lots of fun. Everything to do with hummingbirds. That's going to be at the Little Toad Inn and Tavern near Lake Roberts. And again, there's so many great places to stay in the area, like Cottage of Whispering Canyon. The full listing of great places to stay and many things to do in Silver City at southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now Keith Rosenblum to the Buckmaster Show. Keith writes about the border for several publications, including Inside Tucson Business. He's the former senior border reporter for the Arizona Republic and former Sonora correspondent for the Arizona Daily Star. He's working with the Star now on a new project that promotes Sonora. It's called Bienvenida. Did I get that? Did I screw that up?
You weren't even
up?
Close.
Oh, my goodness.
That was like a different, that was Swahili version.
What's the name of the publication?
It is La Bienvenida, okay. And it is postponed anyway until the middle of September or October, according
okay.
to the Star.
Well, it's going to be a great project, I'm sure. Once it
just my involvement assures a wildly successful program.
Hey, when you were with us the last time, by the way, it's good to have you here in studio. Normally we're talking with you, and you are down in Mexico.
I understood you that you might have been a droid. That's why I wanted to come and verify there was a human at the microphone.
There was actually a human here.
With all these awards and things, I thought maybe he doesn't, maybe it's just simply a doll of some kind.
No, I do have a heartbeat, thank goodness. So you had predicted that regardless of who won the governorship in Sonora, I believe you said it would be good and positive for Arizona. So we have the first woman governor of Sonora winning. Is this good for Southern Arizona?
The two candidates. First of all, I thought it was going to be a race that was going to be decided by a single vote, and I was really wrong. It was a race that was decided by 60 or 70,000 votes. That's in Sonora, where you have, I think it's just about a million eligible voters, and you had two really good people. You had Javier Gandara, who was who's 70, who had been the mayor of Hermosillo, is in the largely in agriculture, has those hydroponic warehouses, and just a man with a real good reputation, lots of interest in the United States. And then you had on the pre side, Javier was from the PAN. And the pre was Claudia Pavlovich, who was a senator from Sonora and had much less in the way of kind of hands-on political experience. And I thought that Gandara would win, or I thought that it would at least be one of those down-to-the-wire elections, and it wasn't even close. It wound up being Pavlovich by 60,000 votes, I think, and it's hard to say whether it was all a pristine election, but anyway, the answer to the question is that either one of them would have voted well for Arizona, and I think Claudia Pavlovich especially will be good for the state, and there's a number of reasons. First of all, she's from the PRI party, which and the sitting governor right now, Guillermo Padres, and also his successor, or would have been, or the candidate, Javier Gandara, are both from the PAN, and President Peña Nieto is from the PRI. What that means is that a guy from the same party is going to help out when it comes to infrastructure projects in the state. Anyway, Claudia Pavlovich, who takes office, by the way, in September, has the backing. A lot of people considered her to be kind of a straw candidate for some of the more powerful and international business interests in Sonora. That's Ricardo Mazon, that's Luis Fernando Heras, that's former governor and now Congressman Manlio Fabio Beltrones. And so in some ways, Claudia, who wasn't that well known, has gotten a boost from having this trinity behind her.
And Claudia Pavlovich campaigned on what issue? I mean, what resonated so that she won such a decisive election?
You know, this is what's so fascinating about Mexican politics, and it's so much, it goes to the core of why Mexicans feel so disenfranchised anyway from the system, which you have really, at least in the U.S., we have parties, we got Bernie Sanders running for office, we have pretty much noticeable distinctions between the platforms of each of these parties. So if someone said, well, okay, what does the Republican platform stand for, and what is the Democratic platform? And in the case of Mexico, what you really have almost nationwide are two different groups of elites running against one another. And if you ask people, well, gee, are they more free enterprise or are they more pro-church or where do they stand on gay marriage or where do they stand on issues of the day? Where do you stand on the war on drugs, which has torn the country apart,
right,
or
right.
on kind of blind obedience to the United States government? I followed it, and there's really this is the part that's remarkable. There's really not much of a distinction on policy. There I can point to a couple of issues. I can say that with Popovich, it will probably be more in terms of more support for the countryside, for the COMPO programs for agriculture. Perhaps there will be more. Had Gondarum won, there would have been more in the way of free enterprise, but very negligible kinds of differences. What you have here really were two groups saying this is the pathetic part, saying basically we're less corrupt than those guys would have been.
Mm. So then if the agreement is there on the major issues, Keith Rosenblum, does it become then who the voter likes personally, kind of the personality thing?
It was absolutely a personality race. That's what everybody focused on. There was one beautiful commercial of Claudia Pavlovich showing her it was very informal, and it showed her swinging a baseball bat, very informal, in a stadium in Mexico. And I forget what the message was, but it made her human. And in the case of Javier Gandara, they kept railing, number one, against Javier having 9 or however many homes in the United States, including Tucson, Scottsdale, as if there's something terrible about having a home in the United States. I mean, yeah. I believe it. And at one point, Gandara said, actually, more people should aspire to have homes in the United States. What's the big issue here? But the problem was he hadn't declared those properties.
Okay.
And the other thing was that his predecessor, or sitting governor Padres, it turns out, has a bunch of horses, pedigree that were brought from Spain. And he's going out. He's finishing his term right now. He's going out with a terrible stigma on him, both for the fact that he had these horses that were bought supposedly with public monies, that he divided the state with a project to bring water to Hermosillo that divided the state absolutely in two, and also the spill and the near Cananea of toxic things into the Rio Sonora. So there were a number of issues that kind of stigmatized him and that caught Gondra. What the PRI did was they ran a campaign saying voting for Gondra will be exactly the same as voting for Padres. So they managed to link those two and make him an anathema.
So this will be good for Arizona because why? I mean, we've got Governor Ducey's.
Yeah,
open.
Actually, if there was no governor of Sonora, it would probably be good for Arizona too. So I don't want to do it. It was based that you don't have you have people who have seen Sonora prosper immensely through obviously the automotive industry. Ford now I think is running 3 shifts producing cars that you can see every day coming through Tucson on their way throughout the United States and being exported. You can see. The aviation industry, which is Airbus, some Boeing things, taking off in a huge fashion in the Empalme-Guaymas area. You have the Port of Guaymas, which is thriving. So it really, unless you had a government that was deliberately going to thwart commerce, anybody would be good. And what's going to happen is whoever's governor right now will be more as to, it will determine who the winners will be within the private sector, but don't worry, there would be winners in either way. And where Arizona and Sonora and the rest of Mexico are going in the years to come is going to be buoyant no matter what.
And the governor, of course, was down in Mexico City, and I believe the governor is opening an office in Hermosillo.
Yeah, it was interesting that Governor Ducey chose Mexico City as the first place to go and to meet with people at the national level. I would have thought that given the history between Arizona and Sonora, that his first deference would have been to go to Hermosillo. These are the people with whom we do business. The people it would be as if the governor of Sonora would be Governor Pavlovich instead of coming to Phoenix or to Tucson the first time we were to go to Washington. You'd find yourself saying, "Well, what's that about?" On the other hand, I understand that a new governor wants to make a statement about dealing with the nation, not necessarily with one of the 32 states, which happens to be next to him. So it makes sense. But those messages are important, and they set the stage for lots of cool stuff. By the way, northern Mexico now has, even since last time we've spoken, you've had a lot of the Sonora state and the north being, for lack of a word in English, I think being gasified. You know how natural gas that goes through comes down through Sasebe and to Caborca and over. this is a tremendous change in industry, because previously you just had electricity to fuel industry. And what that meant was the Mexicans, in any industry, were at a competitive disadvantage to the U.S. or to other places, because the cost of electricity to fuel a plant would might be double or triple. Wow. Given today's gas prices, it actually might be quadruple or more. Now, all of a sudden, the Mexicans have managed to, with natural gas, have brought down their costs of production significantly. That's a big deal for anybody thinking of doing heavy industry. And there's a really important point here. The CFE has converted the entire plant, the entire 600-some-odd megawatt plant at Puerto Libertad, which is mm-hmm. down near Kino Bay, mm-hmm. to natural gas.
Wow, I had not heard about this. That is big. Natural gas being easier, certainly economically.
Much more inexpensive today, a third or a fourth the price, and you no longer have those nasty black plumes that you can see even on satellite.
Keith Rosenblum, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
All right, coming up this afternoon, 4 Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw, 4 to 5 here on KVOI, then Wake Up Tucson 6 to 8, Chris and Joe, the Daily Double 8 to 9 with Chris DeSimone and a guest host, me, Bill Buckmaster. I'll be back tomorrow with our Friday edition of The Buckmaster Show. Till then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.